I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to get into the message today. The message title is, Can You Keep Up? Can You Keep Up? So I'm just going to pray right now, and I'm inviting you to pray with me wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are in the house or whatever you're doing. I just hope you can concentrate, but let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you right now, and I'm thanking you for the opportunity to speak to the youth of the North England Conference and anybody else outside of the North England Conference that may be watching and listening. Father, I pray that the words that I'm about to share will simply serve to encourage those who are watching. It will encourage them to keep up, to keep walking, to keep running, to keep persevering as we strive in these last few moments of this earth history. We long to see you, Lord, but until then, we've got the privilege to do this strange thing called preaching. And I pray that as I'm speaking a word from you, that you will keep me walking in humility as I speak. And let me glorify your name and not my own. May everything I speak be to the glory and the honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name, I say amen. Amen. Okay, everyone. So the message I'm going to be speaking today, titled, Can You Keep Up? I want you to turn in your Bibles. This is just the key text. I'm going to read from this verse, and then I want to go into a bit of an introduction with you. So if you just turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12 and verse 5, and listen to what God says, all right? He says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Key verse. We're going to look into that in a moment. But I want you to consider this. Jeremiah was going for a moment where God had to remind him, can you keep up? Now, we're all in a spiritual war, all right? This war, it's not about having the physical items to fight in a war. This thing's spiritual. And in war, every soldier must be trained to endure stress and be empowered to overcome. Now, in the world, there are several renowned military teams known for the missions that they have accomplished and the rigorous exercises that all individuals who join them are privileged to have endured. Some of the teams, I'm going to go through the top eight teams, military teams from eight different places in the world. Starting with number eight, we've got Pakistan's the Special Services Group, also known as the Black Storks. Okay, you can read about these guys and some of the tasks that they have completed. I'm just going to go through the list. I'm not going to go into much of a description about them, but just study them, look into it. You've got Spain's Unidad de Operaciones Especiales. That's the Naval Special Warfare Force. You've got Russia's Alpha Group, okay? You've got France's National Gendarmerie Intervention Group, or GIGN. You've got Israel's Seiret Matkal. You've got the British Special Air Service, known as the SAS. And you've got the UK, you've also got the UK's equivalent to the Navy SEALs, which is known as the Special Boat Service. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I looked at some of the stuff that these guys do, and it's amazing stuff. And they do the special work, the special operations. Sometimes you hear about them, sometimes you don't. But what came out on top was the United States Navy SEALs, and the name meaning sea, air, and land. The U.S. Navy SEALs, and you can check out the training, you can see some of the stuff that they do online. But according to themilitary.com, they said that this training will stress you beyond your limits to make sure you're worthy to serve with the world's best fighting force. Okay? They go, be prepared, stay focused, make mature choices and understand what you are volunteering for. You see, joining this service, it's called, you know, you're volunteering yourself to get involved in this work. They say you need to stay focused. They say that you're going to be stressed beyond your limits to make sure you're worthy to join them. Just to see some of the stuff, some of what it takes, there's a physical screening test, a PST, which outlines those that are joining, that want to join. This is what they've got to do. Okay, upon joining, they have to do this PST, this physical screening test. Listen to this. You've got to swim 500 yards breast or side stroke in the minimum time of 12 minutes 30 seconds. The average time is 10 minutes, or the optimum is 9 minutes 30. Okay, then after that, you have to do push-ups in 2 minutes, and the minimum amount you can do is 42. The average is 79, and the optimum is 100 push-ups in 2 minutes. Then after that, you have to do sit-ups in 2 minutes. The minimum amount is 50. The average, 79. The optimum, 100. Then you've got pull-ups where there's no time limit, but you're told minimum you've got to do 6. After all of that, you have to do some pull-ups. 6 pull-ups, minimum. 11 pull-ups, average. 25 pull-ups, optimum. Then, after that, you have to run 1.5 miles, and the minimum time you've got to complete this run is 11 minutes. Average, 10 minutes 20. Optimum, you've got to run it in 9 minutes 30 seconds. Upon successfully completing, you then enter upon what's labeled as a brutal training program. Hear this out. You've got 12 plus months of initial training that includes basic underwater demolition for SEALs or BUD-S, and then you've got the parachute jump and the SEAL qualification training. I'm not going to go into all of it. There's 6 stages, and what I read and what I saw them have to go through, there's 1 week where they've got to go a whole week and they only get 4 hours sleep and they have to be awake for the rest of the time. 18 months of pre-deployment training is added on, and an intensive specialized training section. Of the 100% who normally apply every year to become US Navy SEALs, only 1 in 4 complete training. In other words, 25% of the 100% who came get through. Each year, they say that there's about 1,000 recruits to make it to SEAL training, but only 250, about 250, complete that training and join approximately 2,000 more active SEALs who are among 9 active duty teams, 9 or 10. Some of them who joined were not able to keep up. They weren't able to follow through right through to the end. Did they have the same goal? Yeah, they all wanted to become a Navy SEAL member, but they weren't able to keep up with the rigorous training that was required. The 1,000 that got through could probably do the PST train, the PST session, where they had to do the breaststrokes and the push-ups and the sit-ups, the pull-ups and the running, but for the rest, they struggled. Can they keep up? Some of them were not able to, and they dropped out. Today, as I've said at the beginning, we're in a special warfare, and we're told of a special group that will stand in the very last moments of Earth's history, the very last moments of Earth's final crisis, and they're called the 144,000. That group who will be living when Jesus Christ returns. Those who are faithful unto the end, as it says in Matthew 24, verse 13, he who endures, and if he endures to the end, the same shall be saved, will be numbered amongst them. Yet the question stands, can you keep up? Can you keep up? We've all been in over 18 months of a pandemic. There is not a person on the planet right now that has not heard of COVID. If only the gospel was spread as COVID was spread, and I believe the time's coming where it will spread quicker. Every mouth and every person will come to a knowledge of this gospel message that we have, which is outlined in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through to 12, where we're told that we are to call people to fear God and to worship Him, to give glory to Him who made the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and the fountains of waters. It's a message for every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. We've all been in this thing for 18 months, and it has been an intense moment. And many I am hearing, many, and I've heard it myself, where people have told me themselves, they're saying they're not going back to church. They're leaving. They're leaving. They're saying, I'm not going back. I'm going to do something else. Some are saying that they're going into different religions. Some are saying that they're just not, they may not just go back to the church. They're tired of all of the stuff that goes on there. They've given up. The very training ground for the preparation for the final crisis, and people can't keep up. People can't keep up. And I'm saying to you, I'm questioning you, wherever you are right now, can you keep up? The church is the training ground. And in the church, in that hospital that we all go to, there's members that are sick. And that sickness they try to impose on others sometimes. And sometimes those that are on the receiving end of some of those members, they get to the place where some are saying right now, after these 18 months of not having to go into the building, I'm not going back there. The question is, can you keep up? Can you keep up? In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, you see Jeremiah 12, verse 5 is God's reply to Jeremiah. But in Jeremiah 12, verse 1 to 4, listen to what Jeremiah says. I'm not going to read all of the verses. I'm just going to read verse 1 so you get the gist of what Jeremiah is going through. Jeremiah opens by saying, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." So he's saying, God, look, you're righteous. I accept that. I acknowledge it. "When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgment." So he's saying, Lord, in the context of your judgments, I've got some questions. He says, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" In other words, why are the wicked still allowed to prosper? He goes on, "Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" Jeremiah's questioning God through these verses. He's saying, look, all of this is going on, and why do the wicked still prosper? Why do those who are treacherous thrive? And then he goes on in his closing, "Pluck them up and give them to the slaughter like the sheep." And I think of Jesus Christ, who came as a sheep for the slaughter, for you and I. The judgment that Jeremiah is pointing to and saying, the wicked deserve this. Those who are amongst your people and are classed as wicked, they deserve this. Yet Jesus came and he took that on himself. This is just a side point that I needed to add in so that we understand Jesus endured to the end so we can too. Even for the wicked person, so that they can have an opportunity. And Jeremiah is pleading with God. He's asking for understanding. And God directs the point to him. Jeremiah's fed up of the leaders in the church that seem to be doing wrong. He's fed up of those boards in the church who, every time you send a request to them, it gets shut down. He's complaining about those who, just like during the pandemic, you wanted to do some stuff and your church didn't let you. He's complaining. How come they're able to prosper? And I've heard recently people labeling some of the people in the church. They're wicked, they're evil, they're this, they're that. And they're saying, what's God going to do? Some are saying, don't even pray for them. Yeah, I think of the words of Jesus, and he said, you know, you've got to love even your enemies. You've got to persevere. Jesus wasn't joking when he said that those who endure, if they endure to the end, the same shall be saved. In Matthew 24, verse 13, Matthew 24, 14, God speaks about the gospel being preached to the whole world. Because there's a group of people who have said, no matter what's going on, I'm keeping up. And Jeremiah, God reaches out to Jeremiah because Jeremiah seemed to be in a place where he's about to give up. And God says, if you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, how then can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, where you are dwelling and you trust, and they weary you there, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan or in the pride of Jordan? There's different interpreters have looked at what it really means. What he's talking about is that there's a difference between Jordan and the peaceable place where he was living. Here, God was challenging Jeremiah to compare his small sorrows, seemingly small sorrows, with the larger troubles that may come his way. So consider, if you can't cope with those who are like you, the footmen, how do you expect to cope with the bigger trials and troubles that are going to come? The horses. The lesson given to the prophet of old may well come to each and every one of us today. Taken from the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary, it says, if we neglect the minor tasks of life, how can we undertake the greater responsibilities that may come to all of us? If we succumb to the smaller temptations of everyday life, how can we overcome in the greater crisis of life that's going to happen to all of us? If we cannot endure the lesser troubles of life, how can we withstand the terrible tribulations that will yet come upon us? And finally, if we fail to meet the situations of the present day with faith and trust, how will we be able to stand the almost unendurable hardships and almost overmastering delusions that will come upon us during the time of trouble? In other words, what we're supposed to go through now, walking and striving with the footmen, is the training ground to make sure that you can cope with the stress that's going to come. Listen, we all need to know where we are. It's an opportunity for training to help you know how to keep up. The situation, even the pandemic, how are you coping with it? How are you prepared for meeting conversations and discussions with people? I'm not going to lie. When they said, look, you don't have to, that the masks were no longer required, I thought, you know what? Let me go to a shop and just see how I feel not wearing my mask and if I encounter any discussions with people, just so I can kind of figure out what's it like to meet with somebody and to talk about something and we don't agree with it. And I'm on about in the world. And there were times as I'd go to the shop and I'd have the mask in my pocket and I'd think, let me just see what it's like. But then upon entering the door and you see some of the signs, look, you don't have to wear it, but we're asking if you can. And I thought, you know what? I don't really want to go through the discussion. Let me just put the mask on. There's times when I thought, you know, I'm not going to wear it. But is it a big issue? No, it's just a point that I'm trying to get across to you. How are you taking the opportunities and the situations around us as training moments to develop your character? Please, I don't want you to think that what I'm saying here means Craig said don't wear your mask or Craig said do wear your mask. That's your own choice. What I'm saying is that there's a change in Earth's history where the minds of the people are in different places. And we have to be prepared to meet and to challenge things that we really stand for, or be challenged because of the things we stand for. I've heard people saying, oh, you know, the vaccines, the mark of the beast, and all of this stuff is going on. And there is a mixed understanding amongst the people of God who should know where we are. So what I'm going to do for all of you that are listening and watching right now, I'm just going to go through a quick presentation. Normally, I would spend time explaining all of the points in this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to do this presentation just so you can prophetically see where we are in the timeline of Earth's history and understand that you need to keep up with the people of God. No matter what the struggles are that we're all going through, you as an individual need to keep up. Don't look at what the other people are doing. This is about you and your personal soul salvation. So I'm just going to share this quick presentation, and I'm going to go through this with you. I hope it makes sense for you. I'm just going to share my screen. Let's pull this up. Okay, can you see that white screen? Dylan, help me. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see it.
All right, perfect. All right, so look, 1884, a bunch of young people, all right, were together proclaiming a message. And then you've got small Ellen White, who was young, 17 years old at that time, with a small group of people who were praying. And the Lord blessed her and sent her up into vision, because the other one guy that he went to, Hazen Foss, wasn't willing to share the message. So he went to one of the weakest individuals, goes to Ellen White, shows her a vision. And then they understood what was happening in the year 1844. They understood that God entered into the last phase of his heavenly ministry, what we call the investigative judgment. From that time, we understand that the 2,300 days of Bible prophecy came to an end, and God is now doing his work in the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary. If you want to understand more about that, read Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. Read Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, verse 6 to 7. And read Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, to have a deeper understanding about why the things of the heavens must also be cleansed. From that time and before that time, the first angel's message was being preached. And he will preach up until the point where you can see the end of the arrow. The second angel's message is to be preached and was preached. And then we've got the third angel's message. And these three messages combined will be preached up until the close of probation. Now, this silhouette of a gift image is representing you and I, and we're all to be people of prayer. So I want you to understand, in 2021, though the pandemic has been here, what's your prayer life saying? What's going on with the prayer life? Are we still treating this thing like it's prayer meeting at church? How is your individual prayers? Now, I'm saying this for all of us. We need to have a personal prayer life with Jesus Christ, where I can come to him and talk to him about everything that's going on in my day. If you want some type of structure to know how to pray to God, some of you might be listening and saying, you know what, I actually struggle with praying. Here's just a little structure for you that you can use, okay? So listen, you can start your prayers by telling God why you've come to talk to him. Point one, why have I come to talk to God? You may have woken up in the morning. I'm here, Lord, to talk to you. I'm here to pray to you. I've just had a discussion. I may have had an argument with somebody. I may have had an agreement with somebody. I may be in a business meeting. There may be something going on. Lord, this is why I'm coming to talk to you right now. So tell God why you're here, okay? The next thing that you can do in prayer is tell him what your plans are for the rest of the day. Maybe you've got some plans for when you finish praying. Tell him, okay? Then after that, you can spend some time talking to him about why you love God or why you're striving in your relationship with him, all right? So talk to God about him and you. And then after that, the next phase that you can go to, the fourth point, is pray to God about people. You may need to pray to him about the people you've just spoken to. You may need to pray to him about some family and some friends, even your enemies. Pray to him about them. Then after that, you want to give God some thanks for the way that he's going to answer your prayers. If you can't remember the points that I've just mentioned, then when this video is uploaded, just rewind it and then go through the points. But here we are in 2021, and there is going to be a time when Sunday laws are agitated. Now, I'm letting you know now, Sunday laws will be the mark of the beast. Okay, a beast in Bible prophecy represents a kingdom, and that kingdom, which is the papacy of that those beasts that come up in Daniel chapter 7 and the last phase of Daniel chapter 2, where we are, and I believe we're in the toenails about to be clipped off, the stone is going to come, which represents God's kingdom. That last world power, the papal power, which is a religious and political power, will work in its ways to have the people call for a uniting of church and state. And out of that will come laws and dogmas that they want implemented by the laws of the land. Sunday laws are going to come at some point. And if you sit there and say, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Look, go back and read in history and you'll see that it did happen. That they were, that they did try to implement these things. In the 1880s, you had it. You have the Senator Blair, who tried to push for Sunday laws to be implemented as a result of dialoguing with the women's temperance movement at that time. And then we find that there are Sunday blue laws as well that are on the books. And whenever there has been a major crisis, they always point back and say, maybe we need to implement them or enact them again. So they're there on the law books in America, and we have Sunday laws across Europe. They're just not religious yet. It's more about closing businesses down. But Sunday laws are going to be agitated. And at the agitation, we can't be people who are no longer amongst the church of God. We need to have kept up even to that time. And we're not even there yet. Sunday laws are going to be agitated. Those who keep up will receive what's called the latter rain. Study this more. You have the early rain and you've got the latter rain. The early rain is the entering into the gospel message and being watered by the Holy Spirit, receiving the water and being cleansed by the water of the word and everything else, and we, figuratively speaking. And you have this experience, and you experience the early rain experience that's been running all the way from Pentecost down to where we are now. But there's going to be a latter rain that will come. The early rain, as the seed is implanted in the mind, the early rain experience means that the seed begins to germinate. You begin to have this powerful experience with God, but the latter rain prepares you for the harvest. For the second coming of Jesus Christ, for those that are living at that time as well. And we experience latter rain experiences as we're developing in our Christian walk. But at this time, we're going to see that when the Sunday laws are agitated, there will be an outpouring of this latter rain. And then we understand that this latter rain, whilst it prepares you to go through the trouble, it also empowers you to give what the church has called a loud cry during the little time of trouble. Okay, so there's a time of trouble that we will have to preach the message in. And during that time of trouble, when the Sunday laws are agitated and they've been enacted, you will find that there will be an end of religious liberty. Now, let me just talk on this point. We're looking for, people are looking for this ending of religious liberty, yet some are ending religious liberty in the Christian church itself. We challenge people that if you don't do what I say, then you're lost. Yet we're looking for the world to stop and bring an end to religious liberty when some of us are stopping our own religious liberty amongst ourselves by judging and condemning each other. And let me tell you something, if you're on the receiving end of some of those people, let me just encourage you, it's training. And we need to pray for them and at times talk to them. Prayer requires action, yes. And sometimes the action needs to be fulfilled by you. But what I'm saying is, listen, there's going to be an end of religious liberty that will come on the land, and it's not going to be easy during that time. Church and state will unite against the saints. Church and state will unite against the saints. And in those moments, you may be called to give an answer for why you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And why you won't join in with the rest of the world when they're all accepting Sunday, when you're keeping Sabbath and being opposite to the rest. You will have to stand before the courts or councils and give an answer for what you believe. And my question is, why are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Seriously asking, like, why? Why are you here? I have to ask myself, why am I here? I'll tell you why. For me, myself, this message has brought me so close to Jesus Christ. A clearer understanding of the Bible. I believe that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, the Saturday. I believe that from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, that's true. But it goes deeper than that too. You see, those Ten Commandments are just to outline the character of God for me. I see the sanctuary service, which contains so much truth. Around the sanctuary service, all the constellations of our truths simply go around. Everything is found in the sanctuary. David said, "Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary." God said to Moses, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them." And then Jesus came and fulfilled the points of the sanctuary service and is up there right now in heaven, closing it all up. And he says, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find a group of people who were not able to keep up?" And I believe, while some may fall away, those of you who are listening, you can keep up. God's calling every single one of you. You're gonna have to stand before the courts. We'll be treated with contempt by friends, family members, and your enemies will probably grow stronger than what they already are. Treated with contempt. Persecution will be experienced. Some of you have experienced a spiritual type of persecution during this time period. I've seen some strange goings on the internet, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it may be. There's been arguments amongst us about, oh yeah, you accept Black Lives Matter or you don't, and all of this arguing going on. Then there's the vaccines. You accept the vaccine? No, I don't accept it. To the point where people can post, listen to this, people can post a post that says, I'm 100% for vacations. And I believe they should be mandated. And people are so used to just reading vaccination, vaccination, that they skim read the post and they don't even see that it means vacations. And they're still commenting in the post. This happened on my post. I did it. I just experimented. I wanted to see, is this, does this really happen? So I did it on my post. Some conversations got so heated, I had to take it down. And I had one person message me saying, Craig, you know, some of those self-righteous people, I won't say the rest of what they've said. Read and study so that you understand what we believe. If we don't, we will persecute each other. There's a problem in our church where we try to impose on other people the struggles that you yourself are going through. And when you're on the receiving end, you feel like you can't keep up. I can't be bothered with these people. Well, listen, let me tell you something. God will cleanse his church. That is not for us to do. Let God do that. And if you're going through a hard time in church and you feel persecuted, it's training. We have to learn to endure the stress so that we can be prepared for what's coming. Does it mean that we have to accept it? No, we have to stand up for what's right according to the word of God. So don't just be a silent receiver. Stand up for what you believe. Stand up for what's right and what's true. And do it according to the principles of God. Persecution, because look, we're going to experience persecution outside. Jeremiah was going through this. Jeremiah was experiencing these problems and he was pleading to the Lord, why don't you deal with them? And God was saying, if you can't keep up with the footmen, how are you going to deal with the horses? The time of trouble that will come, how are you going to cope? So we go on, there's going to be persecution. You will have no earthly support. You won't be able to buy or sell. What's that going to look like? I don't know. I've never been there, but it's going to be tough. But I read stories. At this time, we should be reading testimonies and real life stories of what people have, how people have experienced the power of God. There's a book I'm reading right now, and the title is 1,000 Miles of Miracles in China, where these people had to escape this Boxer movement where they wanted to get rid of them. The Christians, and there's this group where they were constantly experiencing the deliverance of God at every mile, every place they walked. They experienced the power of God. And I'm reading this and I'm gaining encouragement from it to know if they went through that then. And God has told me that he will never leave me or forsake me. And he's with me all the way to the end. If I can claim the promises of the Bible and see how he's done it in the past, I take courage knowing if it's coming our way, we press on because God will be with us. But does that mean that I can't be tempted to leave too? Of course I can. I have the purpose in my heart. I'm gonna keep up. But it's not always easy. And that's where we've got to find those brothers and those sisters in the church who are going through the same striving. Say, let's pray together. Let's study together. Pray for me. Talk to me. My friend messaged me before I started preaching. So I'm watching you. My first reply to him was, pray for me. I just want to say thank you to the brother. You know who you are. I know who you are. Pray, study, call each other, encourage each other. Your enemies, those that you feel are against you in the church, reach out to them. Tell them what they've done wrong. Let them know how they've offended you or they've hurt you. And if you're the one that's been giving it and you get that call, be prepared to just say, look, how can I do better? How can I help you keep up? Because we are in this walk together. So there'll be no earthly support. We need to learn to support each other now, because when there's no earthly support, we're going to need each other. And there'll only be three places that you'll be found. For the close of probation, you'll either be in prison, you'll be dead, or you'll be in the hills fleeing from everything that's coming. Only three places. And in all three of those places, the way you got there should have given glory to God. If you had to die for the gospel, it will bring people to him. If you've had to flee to the hills, you're fleeing will support the people that you're with. And if you're in prison, praise God, you've got a smaller or a large group that you'll be reaching out to. I know where I want to be. I want to be fleeing up in the hills. I want to be able to just be up there in the mountains. But God might say, you need to die. Many people will come if you die. He might say, you're not prepared to have to go through the strong, solid times, but you've been faithful until the end. So rest, soldier, go in the ground. Or he might say, you need to go to prison. Be prepared to preach there. No matter where we are, with God, we are always in the majority. Every single one of us. We are always in the majority. You can read about this in Last Day Events chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 9, and you can read about the sealing, etc. But then after this, when this message comes to a close, there is going to be a close of probation. Probation is going to close. And at that time, mercy will no longer plead for man and woman. At that time, Jesus Christ has left the heavenly sanctuary and he's preparing to make his way back to earth. And during that time, we're going to experience what's called the great time of trouble, and there will be seven last plagues. You can read about those plagues in Revelation chapter 16, and you can read about them in Revelation chapter 15. In the beginning of Revelation 15, God outlines and says that those who were faithful to him have victory. But those who didn't, there's an outcome. And between those seven last plagues, between the second and the third plague, the saints are going to experience what's called Jacob's time of trouble. And there'll be the seven last plagues that will be falling. But between the second and the third plagues, it says that blood is given them to drink because they have slain the people of God. Or in other words, when you're reading that, what God is saying is, figuratively speaking, the blood has been poured out, the blood, the seas and the rivers have turned to blood because of the laws that they passed to kill God's people. So God says, give them blood. They want blood, give it to them. And the angel says, just and true are you, O Lord. The saints are still alive though. But imagine when the billions of people who are living at that time are all focused to get one group. If you didn't learn to cope with that one person, that one footman who's giving you trouble in church right now, how are you expecting to cope when the whole world is after you? If you can't cope when you've got situations with your church leadership, the boards, the elders, the deacons, the deaconesses, or the brothers and the sisters, how are you going to cope when the whole world is against you and your whole neighborhood is seeing your face plastered on their front page news saying it's because of you why these things are happening? And if you think that won't happen, read about what happened to John Huss. When his name got blasted out and they said that they're not able to have any of the weddings and the funerals and everything, the city's a mess because of one man. But because of his faithfulness to God, he was able to persevere. What about you? Can you keep up? Jacob's time of trouble will come. If you can't cope with the minute time of trouble with the footmen, when the horses come, how will you cope? I believe you can cope if you learn to take the moments now with Jesus Christ and persevere until the end, as he has promised that you can do, and know that he is with you all the way to the end. At the end of this time of trouble, this great time of trouble, we'll see that Jesus Christ will return. Yes, we won't be able to wait for that moment. We will be on that cloud, that cloud with wings and wheels, that as the clouds, as the wings move, they cry, holy, holy, holy. And as the wheels move, they're crying, holy, holy, holy. And we're all on this cloud making our way into eternity with Jesus Christ. And we'll be there for 1,000 years in heaven, in the heavenly courts. And then we'll make our way back down after that 1,000 years. And then God will cleanse the earth, and there'll be this finishing up of the work. The judgment, the execution of the judgment will take place. You can read about that in the final chapters of Revelation. You can read about it in the chapters of Great Controversy. I'd advise you to read the whole book with a key focus on chapters 35 right through to the end. We'll be in heaven. We'll be with God for the rest of eternity. I was talking about heaven and some of the things we'll be doing with my wife on our way to where we traveled to today. And I just can't wait to get there. There is light at the end of this tunnel, but we've got to acknowledge, look, what's happening where we are right now. And I'll tell you what's going on. There's a bunch of you that are saying, I'm not going back to church because you're struggling with the little issues. And God's reply to all of us, and you specifically at this time, is if you can't keep up with the footmen, how are you going to cope with the horses? If you're in a place where things are peaceable right now, how will you cope when the things and the noise gets loud? We're not even at the time of trouble yet. And yet people are saying they're giving up on church. You're not going to continue in the training ground. You're going to leave. But look, my question and my point to all of you is, don't leave. Don't give up. Don't stop pressing on with God. Consider the young people in the Bible, and I'm bringing this to a close in a moment. Jeremiah went through a hard time, but he stayed focused. God had to keep pulling him back, but he stayed focused. Jeremiah went for a moment where he said, you know what, I'm not going to preach anymore. And when he went amidst the people, he said that the word of God was like fire in his bones. He couldn't help but do what God called him to do. And Jeremiah's in this moment in his relationship with God, and he says, you've let these people continue, and why? And God says, if you can't keep up, how will you keep up with the bigger troubles? In other words, what we're going through individually is to prepare us for the greater work we've got to do. To be in God's last day major super service, those groups of men and women who will persevere and will live to see Jesus return. Your training on earth is to train you for heaven. Does that mean we're going to be going through persecution and stuff up there? No. It just means your character has been put to a place of stress where you learn to put your total trust in Jesus Christ. And my point is, if you're saying you're leaving, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, because if you're here for people, you'll go. If you're here for him, you will stay. Jeremiah stayed. Jeremiah stayed, and because he stayed, he encouraged others. You can read in Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel was taken as a young man. And let me tell you, Jeremiah was a young man. When Daniel was taken as a young man, he said in Daniel 9 verse 2, it's because of the writings of Jeremiah why they knew what to do. So if Jeremiah had given up, that would have had a knock-on effect for Daniel. Consider what Daniel went through. Dragged from home, made a eunuch in a strange land. How many of us would have tried to escape, or may have even tried to cause a disruption up there in Babylon? But Daniel stayed true and loved the king Nebuchadnezzar to the point where Nebuchadnezzar was converted. In other words, what that's telling us is that our character should be so close to God's that when we feel like giving up, I will stay focused on him, and even my enemies should be converted to the Lord. If my enemies can be converted, family can be too, and my friends can be too. And the church member and the church situations, those can be changed to be a strength for you and a stepping stone so you go higher and closer with God. Now listen, I'm not speaking as one who you may think has it easy. Listen, I've been through the hard times in church. I've been there. Church programs wanted to run a training session with the young people to get them trained up to give Bible studies. And the leadership told me no. So I went round and I got a list of all of the names. I thought, am I going to give up? No. There are people who need to give Bible studies. I'm not giving up. I'm going to go and get the list of the names. And then I presented that to the board. I said, these are the names. Let me run the training in my own house. So I did the training in my house. Did the training. Taught them what I could. In the hope that when people go up for appeals, there'll be somebody that can give Bible studies to them. And there was some from the group who said, I'm going to give Bible studies. And they did. The board said, yeah, you can go ahead. Now, did I say I'm going to go to my home and do it alone and not go with the church? Sorry. Was I upset with the church? Yes. I thought, why can't they support me here? But I'm not here for them. I'm here to bring glory to God and to help his church. So I thought, even if they're not happy with what I want to do, let me do it for them. Let me just get the okay from them. They gave the okay, trained the people up, brought them back to the church. Because it's not about me, it's about him and his service. Have there been people that try to deceive and pull people out of the church? And I've had to go through that. Yes. There were groups that came into the church talking all kinds of fallacies and falseness. And I saw people leave the church. Have I had friends that have left the church that are striving to come back? Yes, I've seen it, experienced it, cried over it, prayed over it. Does that mean I'm supposed to give up? No, it means that this is a training ground where I'm learning. If some of the fellow footmen fall off, Lord, help me to stay on. Because we have to persevere to the end. This situation, while it may get stressful for you, it's not about just you. God wants to save you. But this is about preparing you for the greater trials that are to come. Can you keep up? Yes, you can. Because God says you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. Temptation comes your way, you don't need to give in. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape for you. Do I feel alone? Yes. But in the last verse of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told you he is with you all the ways until the end. Jesus said he's coming back. So keep up. This thing is about your mind and acknowledging your freedom of choice. I read a story about a lady called Jamie Cole, 36 years old. She says, for me, she wanted to run a marathon. She says, for me, choosing to run was about being able to have the choice in the struggle. I had a troubled childhood, this is why she says, filled with an alcoholic, abusive father and a mother who was also an alcoholic for the first 7 years of her life. My father passed away in 2008, having never overcome the demons. Her mother, she says, whom she was very close with, was diagnosed with cancer in 2012 and died within a year. Those struggles were not a choice. Life happened, and I had to deal with it. But she goes on and she says, as crazy as it sounds, having the choice to face something difficult was incredibly freeing. I chose to run through the pain, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. God gives each and every one of us the choice to run in this race too. And I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through to 3. This is my last verse, and after this, we're going to close with prayer. I'll hand over to Dylan. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. And listen to this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, namely those from Hebrews 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You run this race with patience, because this is a battle of the mind. And at times you need time in this race to think, why am I feeling like this? Why am I struggling? Why am I a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? And the way that we get through the race is by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus endured this for you, so that you can learn to endure and not be wearied in your mind. Jesus went through it too. So can you keep up? Yes, you can, only by focusing on Jesus Christ. And I'm pleading, don't let me hear any more young people saying they're leaving. I'm pleading that we'll start hearing people say, you know what? I was close to leaving, but I'm staying. I'm going to go back to my local church. And I'm going to be there in the prayer meetings and the board meetings and the business meetings. And I'll be there and I'll serve where needed. And I'm going to let my voice be known. I'll make motions and I'll call for points of order where needed. And I'll educate myself and understand what this is all about so we can go forward with the church. Don't leave the church. It's the training ground. If you leave here, you're going into enemy territory. You're a soldier of the cross, male and female, and you're going to persevere to the end. You will keep up. Because Jesus kept up for you, and if he did it for you, he will empower you to do it too. That's the closing. And if you are feeling like you're close to leaving, for whatever reason, work, friends, people struggling to understand what we believe, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hands where you are and to pray and ask God to help keep you, because he said he can. He can keep you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, I'm thankful for the privilege to speak this message. I pray it's been clear. I pray it will serve to encourage and empower everybody who listens. And I pray that they'll take that message and run with it. That will take your message, Lord, the gospel, the everlasting gospel, and run with it. You said, here's the patience of the saints, Lord. You saw a group of people that you could say, here are they, that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. The same faith that Jesus put in you, Father, we can put in you too, if we just trust you. I pray, help us. In Jesus' precious name, help us to keep up. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.